Hi, everybody. Welcome to another episode of Little Fish. My name is Andrew Hunter-Murray. I'm here with Dan Schreiber and James Harkin, and we have gathered to give you your best facts. You've been sending them into podcast@qi.com, and we're here to tell you all about them. And then at the end, we're going to do some more fact custodianships for people who've joined Club Fish at the Friend of the Podcast tier. So let's get into it. Who's got a fact?
That was depressingly good, Andy.
Yes!
James has been telling me that I make a horlicks of this intro every time and was grinning at me throughout that, just waiting for me to do so.
I was trying to put you off and it didn't work at all.
No.
I got a fact. Should I jump into it?
Yeah, sure.
Go for it.
Dan Connolly sends this. He says, a few months after co-starring as Papa in the video for Madonna's Papa Don't Preach, Danny Aiello, who is an actor that you will know from movies such as The Godfather Part 2, he's Leon the Professional. He's got a very, very familiar face in those movies.
Love that film.
So he was Papa in Papa Don't Preach.
Oh, I see.
Okay.
Yeah. So not long after that was released, he released an answer song to it, Papa Wants the Best for You, his own version to reply to Madonna for what she was saying.
Is he preaching throughout it?
He's sort of... I watched the video and the song sounds very much like a 1990s or a 1980s sitcom.
Oh, sitcom.
Yeah. Like, you know, like the intro where it's like everyone's turning their heads and smiling at camera. Picture what song's underneath that. It's got that vibe about it.
Okay.
But he seems really distraught. He's like,
incredibly specific reference. But
yeah. It's honestly the same tone.
We understand it though.
Yeah.
Then it works.
Yeah. So he did this reply song,
wow. You
know, and he did occasional songs. He released a few albums, but he wasn't a big singer.
So Papa Don't Preach is Madonna saying, don't tell me what to do, Dad, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think it had something to do with her having a baby and needing an abortion. I think, you know, coded underneath it.
Okay.
Largely that's what it was.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because I don't know the song. All I can think of is the Papa and Nicole adverts.
That's what it's based on.
Is
yeah, yeah.
No.
Yeah.
Papa, don't preach. I've got a Citroen here.
That's right.
I'm just going to say, to forestall the emails, Renault, not Citroen.
Oh, I knew it was that, but I thought no one's going to write in for that, are they?
James, you don't see the inbox like I see it.
Yeah, so this comes in a long line of answer songs, as they're known.
Can I say one? F-U-R-B.
Frankie,
that's the one I know.
Well, that was massive in the 90s, I think it was, and it was basically a song. Do you remember what his name was? The artist?
Gosh, I can't remember now. I can't remember, but his song was F U.
Amen, he was
Amen,
called.
That's right. And he just says F U all the way through to this girl, and then she says F U right back. But she didn't know him in real life.
Turns out she didn't. And that was the big thing because at the time it was sold as if this was the genuine girlfriend and it was a sort of one-off. But this goes back so far back. So Walter Riley and Krista Marlowe traded answer pieces with each other.
Who?
Christopher Marlowe?
Christopher Marlowe and who was the first one?
Walter Riley.
Oh, Walter Riley.
Oh, Riley.
Yeah.
Not Riley.
Walter Riley is just some guy. Walter Raleigh is sailing to the New World and doing all of that.
Oh, yeah. No, I'm not talking about him. I'm talking about Walter Riley.
Got
who
it.
Was, yeah,
see,
yeah. Wrote some amazing pieces back in the 1500s. Wow. No, Raleigh, sorry, who wrote The Passionate Shepherd to His Love. And there was a reply, which was the nymph's reply to the shepherd. So it goes all the way back then. It's not necessarily beef. It's just a reply. It's a different perspective.
Lamb, innit?
But yeah, Neil Sedaka wrote an O Carol in reply to...
O Carolina by Shaggy.
I don't even know a second Shaggy song, so that's amazing knowledge there. Neil Sedaka wrote O Carol, and Carole King wrote O Neil in reply to that.
Oh, that's good. David Bowie wrote a song, had an album called Low, L-O-W.
Yeah.
And then there was a musician called Something Low, L-O-W-E. And he released an album called Bowie Without the E.
Very nice.
Very nice.
I wish I could remember everything about it. It was the first record released by Stiff Label that had like Madness Rin and a load of other people.
Yeah. Right. Ooh. There's a crazy one, which is that John Lennon with the Beatles put out In My Life, and his dad, who was not a singer, his dad was like a sailor. He was out on the seas, and that's why John didn't grow up with him, released a song that same year, within the same month, called That's My Life. And it's been labeled as an answer song, but I think it was just jumping off the sort of coincidence of title to make it so that he goes up in the charts with the name Lennon. But what's amazing is he recorded it with a 30-piece orchestra, and two of the members of that orchestra were part of Jimi Hendrix's Experience band. So it was Noel Redding and Mitch Mitchell, the two people who defined psychedelia along with Jimi Hendrix, worked on a song with John Lennon's dad back in 1965.
Should we have another fact?
Yeah, okay, here's one. This one, I seem to have become the repository for facts about sporting teams with weird, wordy coincidences.
Look, a sport fact comes into the inbox. I think I'm not going near that. I know who's the man.
Yeah, well, Sveinung Karlsson wrote in and said that between 1975 and 1988, the football club West Bromwich Albion went through a run of managers whose first names went Johnny, Ronnie, John, Ron, Ronnie, Ron, Johnny, Nobby, Ron, and Ron.
Nobby sticks out of it.
Nobby sticks out a mile. Oh, that's so funny.
So Sveinung found this on Twitter from a Twitter account called Touchline X. But yeah, he checked it out, and it was Johnny Giles, Ronnie Allen, John Wyle, Ron Atkinson, Ronnie Allen, Ron Wiley, Johnny Giles, Nobby Styles, Ron Saunders, and Ron
Wiles, Nobby Styles.
Was Johnny Giles.
Giles, then Styles.
Yeah. Giles and Styles.
That's amazing. Absolutely amazing. Was that a fact from someone called Carlson?
His surname is Carlson.
That's probably the best fact about football managers I've ever heard.
It's brilliant.
From Carlsberg.
That's a reference to Carlsberg. Yeah.
Okay. Just forestalling the emails, Andy.
It's close enough.
And at the same time, you sent me a fact from Ole Everback, and it is about Bode Glimt, who won against Atletico Madrid in the Champions League recently. And the goals were scored by Sørloth from Madrid, Sjøvold, and Høgh. And all of those names have got a circle with a line through it.
Oh, okay.
You know, like...
The O with a...
An
U. Yeah. What a wonderful fact.
What a wonderful fact, yeah. Ola said that it was maybe the greatest win for the letter U through all times.
Here's a fact from Mike Abdullah. Your fact bestowing at the end of Little Fish has probably had the intended effect here and prompted me to go and listen to some old episodes. Guys, it works.
Ah, yes.
It works.
Nice.
Brilliant.
A friend of mine has worked on maintaining some old software, which uses something called the PIC operating system. This product was named after one of its developers, Mr. Dick PIC.
Come on.
I've looked this up, and I tell you, I got it wrong the first time. I did not add PIC operating system in quotes. I just searched Dick PIC.
Dick PIC.
And
did you?
Yeah.
How was it?
It was all right.
Yeah.
Nice. Stuck out a mile.
Lost an hour of time, but it was good.
So anyway, no, Dick PIC was a real guy who came up with the PIC operating system.
That's so interesting.
I suppose he predated the dick pic.
That's wonderful.
Yeah. Just a real thing.
Predated the digital dick pic.
Absolutely. His was the analog. Anyway.
Here's another one. This is from Daniel Atkinson. Says, a little fact I discovered researching the 1985 Austrian wine poisonings.
Oh.
So wow. before I get to his fact, we should qualify what that is. 1985, in Austria, there was an incident where all the wineries were found to be illegally adulterating their wines by using an antifreeze to make sure that it was sweeter, that it had that full-bodied taste, like one that was like a late harvest wine.
And why is that illegal?
Well,
because it can make you blind.
Oh, okay.
There you go.
Just thought we'd better draw that out. You know, antifreeze sounds good, doesn't it?
It sounds great.
Yeah. You don't want your wine freezing.
So Austria, for a while, they were the third largest wine producer in the world. And this absolutely decimated them because it was seen to be illegal and they had to get rid of all of these bottles of wine. So they ended up draining away 27 million liters of wine. So 36 million bottles. It was 7 months worth of Austria's total wine exports. And they did use it for useful things. They started...
Pour it into cars, I presume.
Well, yeah, that's the thing. They were using it for sewage treatment plants. They were using it on the roads as an antifreeze.
That's like, incredible.
Yeah,
that's
so it's amazing.
Incredible.
But the fact that's been sent in by Daniel Atkinson is that apparently when the news eventually got out about the poisoned wine, many countries in Europe banned not just wine from Austria, but China and Japan accidentally banned all of Australia's wine as well because of the similar names.
Can't be too careful.
Yeah.
That's very funny.
Great fact.
Incredible.
Okay, here is one from Declan Curry. And Declan says, my fact is if you walked around the whole Earth on the equator, your head would travel roughly 37 feet further than your feet. Due to the curvature of the Earth.
So that's very dangerous, actually, isn't it? Well, ending up with your head that much further away from your feet. I mean, that's...
there are a few technical issues, such as the fact that most of the equator is underwater.
Sure.
Yes.
But yeah, in theory, that's what would happen.
So what goes further, your legs than your feet?
Your head goes. Because it's further away from the center of the Earth.
That's a very funny. Good fact.
That's amazing.
Can you think of any ways that you can tell how far away from the equator you are?
Well, look around you, and if you can see a polar ice cap, you know you've got a way to go.
How do you know you're not in the South Pole?
I suppose I'd look around for any polar bears, and if I can't see any polar bears, then I'm definitely at the South Pole.
Yeah, or the zoo.
Exactly.
Are you shorter?
You're shorter.
Yeah, is gravity pulling on you a slight bit stronger?
That'll be it.
That you've just very slightly
be
shorter.
Be very difficult for you to measure, I should think.
So what am I trying to tell here? If I'm at the equator, just or far away?
How can you tell?
How far away from the equator you are?
I'd probably use Google Maps, wouldn't I? I mean, on a practical level.
Well, okay, your phone's not working.
Oh, well, I'm stuffed. I'll look around probably for any nearby trees with moss on them.
Okay.
And if I if I find trees with moss on them, I'm happy wherever I am in the world.
Okay, trees is a good one.
Okay.
So there is one way you could do this. This is the Cook Pine Tree. And the Cook Pine Tree bends a different amount depending on how close to the equator you are.
Right.
Admittedly, it doesn't grow in all places on Earth, but wherever you are, if you can find a species of this tree, the amount that it's leaning will tell you your latitude.
That's stunning.
That's really amazing.
That's great.
Another way you can do it is you can speak to one of the locals, and if their language has more vowels than consonants, they're going to live closer to the equator.
Okay.
Absolutely foolproof.
And you're saying that's less hard than measuring yourself
to like an angstrom of height, right? I mean, how much taller are you?
Oh, I don't know. I thought you had the answers.
I have the answers to my actual answers.
But not my ones. I get it now.
But not your whimsical ones.
All right, I get it.
Can I give you another one?
Yeah.
Yeah.
This is from Jono Whitehead. I was listening to you and Dan brought up RAS syndrome, which stands for Redundant Acronym Syndrome.
Mm. Oh, yeah.
Lovely. And I thought you'd appreciate this. We all know what a cuttlefish is, don't we?
Cuttlefish?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Little sort of squiddy things.
Sure.
They're oceanic and molluscoid, aren't they?
Yeah.
Yeah. We all know what a cuttlefish is. Anyway, the cuttle in cuttlefish comes from the Old English kudel, meaning cuttlefish. So a cuttlefish is a cuttlefish.
That's good.
That is good.
Pleasing, isn't it? And I had a little extra look into what cuttlefish comes from. The kudel either comes from the Middle Low German kudel, meaning container, or the Old Norse kodi, which means cushion or testicle, or the Old English cod.
Oh, and cod actually comes from the same as testicle, actually, like a cod piece.
I read that cod and cod piece were not...
I guess there's
the testicle cod, not the fish cod. Yeah, yes, you're absolutely right. Kudel is where cod piece comes from. Exactly, exactly.
Interesting. And why do we think that it's called that? Is it like the shell that you would use as a cup or something?
Kudel. Yeah, I think so. I think that's either it, or it's like a cushion, or it's like a testicle, which would be the Old English.
Is cuttlefish where you get sepia from? Like that you have in old photographs?
I don't know. I only know that you put a cuttlefish shell in the base of a parrot's cage for it to have something to chew on.
That's true.
Mm.
That's what they all dream to be when they're older.
There's a good RAS syndrome one that I remember now, which is DC Comics.
Oh, is it?
Detective Comics. Yeah, well, Detective Comics.
Is that right?
It's in there. And then someone picked me up for this because I got it wrong in my book, which was I wrote the HIV virus. Of course, the V is virus.
I think it's fine.
Yeah, I think so too.
I don't mind you putting virus in there just to make sure everyone knows what you're talking
about. That's what I said to the brain surgeon, and he was not buying it.
He got his friend the rocket scientist involved.
Here is a fact from Andrew Joseph Perez, and they say that the man who was arrested for vandalizing Donald Trump's star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame in 2016 offered to bail out the man who was arrested for vandalizing Donald Trump's star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame in 2018.
Oh, that's nice.
Isn't it?
That's a club.
What a family, yeah.
Yeah.
Like passing it on to the next person.
Pay it forward.
Yeah.
Did they do anything especially amusing to the star, or
not
did they
really
just hit it with a hammer?
Yeah, it wasn't very interesting, though, gotta say. I got a fact about the Hollywood Walk of Fame, though.
Oh, yeah.
So who of these people has the biggest star?
Oh.
Angelina Jolie, George Clooney, Leonardo DiCaprio, Ben Affleck, Stanley Kubrick, Brad Pitt, Jim Carrey, or Al Pacino?
Oh, bloody hell.
Who has the biggest star? Because they're all basically the same size.
They're all the same size, but there are some differences in some of the stars. For instance, the Apollo 11 crew have stars on there, but they're in the shape of moons.
Oh, that's clever.
Okay.
Because they went to the moon.
Yeah.
That's pretty good.
Oh, I get it now. Yeah.
So I've been to the Hollywood Walk of Fame, and I've walked
same.
Up and down.
Same here.
I was looking for
you.
I was very disappointed. Is one of them got a comically big star? That
Jolie, Clooney, DiCaprio, Affleck, Kubrick, Pitt, Carey, Pacino.
Kubrick, because Kubrick did 2001: A Space Odyssey and
the moon landings, of course.
Yeah. I'll say Kubrick.
Dan?
I'm going to say Jim Carrey, and I have no reasoning for it.
Well, the answer is none of them has a star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame.
Oh, very
nice. It was a trick.
Ooh, that is a good trick.
Yeah, great prank.
Isn't it weird? Because they're all pretty big names.
Yes.
None of them has ever, as far as I can see, said why they don't have it. But you need to be nominated to start off with. I imagine all these people have been. But then you have to pay a sponsorship fee every year, and you have to attend the unveiling.
Oh, yeah.
So it's a bit of a scam. Hassle,
exactly. And they've had a rough few years, all of those. Brad Pitt, Jim Carrey. They don't really have the dosh, I don't think, to do that. But it is wild. You have to pay. Yeah, you have to maintain.
Yeah, that's nuts.
Yeah.
No, thank you.
Is that why you don't
that's
have
That's why
one?
Andy's
yeah.
not got his yet.
On principle. Yeah. God, I have to wade through a dozen emails a day from those guys. Please, sir. Here's one.
Okay.
From Chris Squires. Great name. We talked about the Chicago River. Do you remember?
Yeah.
Yeah.
With John Lloyd?
We did.
And it's, you know, it used to be very, very filthy.
There is someone follows me on Instagram called The Real Dave Matthews.
Of Dave Matthews Band?
I don't know if it's him or not.
Has he got a little tick?
Sounds like him.
I didn't check.
Hmm.
But I just got a follow from someone called The Real Dave Matthews. I was very excited.
Yeah.
Right.
Because regular listeners will know that we talked about the Dave Matthews Band, whose bus went over the bridge of the Chicago River and dumped excrement on a tourist boat below.
Not on purpose, as far as we know.
Yeah.
Well,
so you two haven't interacted. You're just sort of
standoff. I saw that he's a follower.
Right.
I don't follow him. I can't see his or hers. I don't know. Mm. Could be a female Dave Matthews, but I can't see their Instagram stuff because I'm not following them.
I see.
Right. Sounds like Dave Matthews to me. It sounds like the real one. Well, yeah, I mean, on a cursory examination, it sounds like the real Dave Matthews.
Yeah, but it's so easy, like, to just make a fake The Real Dave Matthews. Absolutely.
On the internet, no one knows if you're Dave Matthews or not.
Yeah.
Chris writes, you missed the most interesting fact about the Chicago River. What a challenge.
Mm.
And I thought, we can't have done. I think we did.
Really?
Yeah. In 1900, it changed direction.
Oh.
This is so wild. I just didn't know it at all. It used to be really horrible, right? And it used to empty into Lake Michigan,
yep.
which is where the principal water source for the city of Chicago.
Yep.
So if you're taking water from the lake and it's taking water from the river and there's all sorts of horrible gunk in the river, you've got problems.
I see.
You've got cholera, which happened plenty. And in 1871, they were trying to stabilize a local canal. They pumped some water in. It temporarily reversed the flow of the Chicago River. And they thought, hang on, this is an idea. And so they created a canal to imitate a downhill direction for the river, moved millions and millions of cubic yards of earth, and these days it runs out of Lake Michigan and down eventually into the Gulf of Mexico via another river.
Is that right?
Isn't that stunning?
Oh, that's very cool.
They just reversed it.
They raised Chicago around that time, didn't they? Do you remember the entire city was raised by like a meter or something?
Really?
What?
I think that's right.
I think, yeah, it's ringing a bell.
I wonder if this was part of the same thing.
What? Why do they?
Well, I think the problem is I can't really remember. But I'm sure they did it. Where's my phone? Let me just quickly check it. You two talk amongst yourselves for a minute.
Dan, you watched anything good lately?
Started watching White Lotus.
Oh, yeah.
It's good.
It's okay, yeah. They're all a bit mean, aren't they?
I'm only an episode in.
Oh, well.
Okay, enough of this red hot banter. During the 1850s and 1860s, engineers carried out a piecemeal raising of central Chicago to lift the city off its low-lying, swampy ground.
Good Lord.
So they raised a load of buildings just so that they would get out of the marshes, but it's not related to the thing that you said.
But very interesting. Yeah. And also confusing because, you know, if you raise a city to the ground... that's the opposite of what we wanted you to do.
Very good.
Right. That's for the moment. Enough of your brilliant facts. If you'd like to send in more, just email what you've got to podcast@qi.com. We love receiving them. But now it's time to dish out some of our headline facts from over the years. If you go to patreon.com/clubfish, you can join Club Fish, where you can have ad-free episodes of this podcast. You can have bonus stuff, our fortnightly Drop Us a Line audience feedback show. And if you join at the top tier, we will bestow on you in perpetuity one of our headline facts. You will become custodian of one of these facts, and we send you even a gorgeous certificate proving your ownership to any doubters. It's really fun. Check it out. Patreon.com/clubfish. Let's dish out some of the facts now. Who should we start with?
Okay, I'll do one. This fact is now under the custodianship of Mary Sanderlands. And Mary, your fact is that after returning from the moon landing, Buzz Aldrin worked at a car dealership where he failed to sell a single car.
I love this. I also understand it. If you go, you're trying to buy a car, and someone keeps saying, I was on the moon, you know. I'm not interested. I want to know about the...
Do you reckon he
would
do that?
Does it have air conditioning? Oh, I bet he would.
Do you think?
He strikes me as a very uncompromising guy. Also, I'd be terrified to buy a car from Buzz Aldrin.
How come?
Well,
he's scary.
He's a very scary
guy. He is pretty scary. Yeah.
I can imagine just him being quite brisk in a sales situation.
What I think is that he's about to close a sale and then Neil Armstrong gets in there first.
Yes. Oh, if only he was at the dealership across the road. That would be amazing.
Cash till's ringing.
Yeah.
Michael Collins just doing a test drive.
Lovely.
Oh, yeah. God. I've got he's written a couple of autobiographies, Buzz Aldrin, because he really struggled when he came back from the moon. There was a lot of alcohol, there was divorces, all that sort of stuff. Check out this. This is the blurb at the back of his autobiography. On the 20th of July, 1969, Apollo 11 made its historic first landing on the moon. 2 years later, astronaut Buzz Aldrin was hospitalized for psychiatric treatment.
Wow.
Because of what he saw up there.
Yes.
Sent to the loony bin. Like Luna
bin.
Absolutely. Yeah. An old-fashioned phrase, but one I think we're bringing back.
If it works as a pun, it's not offensive.
Got it.
But it was like, I think it came from the moon, like because people thought that you went crazy when you saw the moon.
As in lunatic. Yeah.
Yeah,
you're right.
Yep.
No harm, no foul.
I'd just like to apologize.
Next full moon, your place is going to be full of complaints in person. Shall I do one now?
Yeah.
This one goes out to Wayne. Wayne, your fact is now that in the Middle Ages, the Catholic sect, the Cathars, were said to get their name from the fact they liked to kiss a cat's ass. This is the Cathars. I think this was your fact, James.
Yeah, it sounds like me.
They were heretics and the
traditional
church.
I do like a sect.
Yeah.
Do you?
Unnatural sects.
I have sects appeal.
Nice.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
No harm, no foul.
Andy's lost an hour to dick pics and you've got sex.
It was what, Middle Ages, and they used to make up stories of what they did.
Yes.
And they said that they would kiss a cat's bum. And also Satan supposedly sometimes came as a cat.
Mm. Right.
And so it was like kissing Satan's bum in a way. Interesting.
Yes.
Rick Mail had a cat called Satan.
Did he?
Yeah. Did he?
Yeah.
That's
the
good.
Cat Satan the Mat. Satan the Mat.
Yeah.
Sat.
You've pushed it too far.
No, I think it's all good. I think I really like it. Off the back of Looney Bin as well. Come on. This is a man.
We're watching
a
master at work. I get it.
Exactly. Let's do another one. This goes out to Brad Downing. And your fact is the British pop charts have had 3 top 50 songs sung exclusively in Latin.
Wow.
Yeah. I can't remember.
Gaudeamus.
Yeah. 3 times over.
I can't think of any Latin. Like maybe like a Pia Jesu kind of thing. Like,
yeah, I think there'll probably have been choral works. Maybe it was Big at Christmas, for example.
I feel like Lil Wayne did a song last year. Maybe it was, as in it had it in the background that he rapped over it.
Oh, that wouldn't count unless he's rapping in Latin. I don't know if it's a good language to rap in, like French, because all the, you know, there's so many similar rhymes at the end of words. French is terrific for rap.
Yes.
Which is
Latin,
why all the great rappers are French.
There are some good French rappers.
Absolutely.
But I think like Latin does have endings, doesn't it?
Your verb endings.
Any verb. If you end each sentence in a verb,
yeah, absolutely,
then they might rhyme.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, there's clearly a thirst for it. So maybe that can be the Fish single.
My Latin's very weak. Andy, yours is not bad, is it?
Yeah, I'm not conversational, I'd say. But I could get by. Yeah. I could get by in ancient Rome, no problem.
Okay, here is another one. This fact is that the way to recognize the Buddha is to look out for webbed feet, a tongue which can reach his ears, and withdrawn genitalia. And look at you, Ethan Walker. This is now your fact. You know what? There's some things that you remember from these shows. And I remember listening to the edit of this show.
Okay.
And I remember where I was skiing, and I was, for some reason, I had to listen to an edit that day and I was on holiday. And so I was on the ski slopes and I remember listening to this specific moment.
Wow. It's a lovely situational memory you've got there.
I don't even remember which country it was.
Yeah. But it would have been so cold, you probably also would have had withdrawn genitalia at the time. I've seen the Buddha's tooth in a temple.
In Kandy,
Sri Lanka.
It's in Kandy. Well, you would lose a tooth if you were.
Very, very, very nice.
So where's Kandy?
It's in Sri Lanka.
I was thinking of the joke, so I missed the second bit of that.
Doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Yep.
Cool. Yep. And it's presumably not his tooth, but claimed to be a relic.
Well, I've seen his tooth in, I think, Singapore or somewhere else.
He's got 32 of the things. I mean,
and the baby teeth.
64? Come on. I'm amazed we haven't got one in this room with us now. Anyway, yes, Buddha. Good to know. Keep alert. This one goes out to Holly Flanagan. Holly, this fact is that the whoopee cushion was invented by a Roman emperor called Bassianus. Known as Bassianus, also known as Elagabalus. Dan, this is one of, I'd say, this is the fact I've heard most from you over the years.
Yeah.
Well, it's your go-to. You love it.
But it's because it was one that I'm pretty sure I found myself. You know, sometimes we find facts that are written by others. I was reading an entry on Elagabalus on Wikipedia, and I saw that his birth name was Bassianus, of course, Bassianus. And I just couldn't believe that this guy attributed it with it. And I remember running into you, James. We were in the Covent Garden offices and going, can I say Bassianus? What do you think? And you were like, yeah.
But was this the first time we ever deliberately mispronounced something for comic effect?
I think this is patient zero for
it
that.
Can't yeah, yeah. Be.
Is it? It could be.
Really? All right, this one's from Michael Reeve, folks. And your fact is now the oldest known purse is decorated with dog's teeth.
Oh, yeah.
How many teeth do they have?
Dogs?
Yeah.
Buckets? Loads.
Great.
Canines, yeah. All of them are canines.
All canines, and there's the joke. I do feel a very nice satisfaction. Sometimes I feel like we might just make the same joke again that we made last time, 10 years ago, but I feel like sometimes we'll find our way to a new joke, and I think James will have just done that there.
Oh,
that's lovely to hear, cool, isn't it?
Yeah. It's really nice. It's like we're getting a second chance to live our entire life.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This is what Andy does if he goes to a comedy show. He sits on the front row and someone does a joke and he goes, hey, it's actually really nice to hear a joke like that on a day like today. Probably the structure of the joke is not something I've really heard before.
I'm sorry for being an enthusiast. I'm trying to boost you guys up here.
You could have just lolled.
But I never lol. I won't do it.
You go straight to Ruffle.
I do.
Okay. That fact was for Michael Reeve Folks. This next fact now belongs to Amy Reeve Folks.
Any relation?
No relation. I assume some relation. We don't know. It could be a coincidence.
Yeah, we've had some joint correspondence from Michael and Amy.
Well, I would like to know, because who's got the best fact? So, Michael, your fact is about the oldest known purse being decorated with dog's teeth. And Amy refokes, your fact is that according to a 2011 study, 27% of Britons neither love nor hate Marmite.
Mm. Great.
That's good.
Great fact.
I don't know which is my favourite, though. They're both classics.
Oh, that is good. Yeah.
I think Marmite. I encounter Marmite more often than I encounter dog's teeth. I very rarely have dog's teeth on toast of a morning.
Mm.
Let's have one last fact. This one goes out to John Gallagher. And it's that the Knights of the Round Table included Lancelot, Galahad, Gawain, and Gareth.
Yeah.
Sir Gareth.
Gareth.
Bold Sir Gareth.
Again, I was reading a book of the Knights of the Round Table, and when I saw that name, I was like, "What? That was Gareth?
Yeah.
Who's this guy that no one ever talks about?
Do you remember anything he got up to?
I don't actually know.
12 years go by, and apparently this Sir Gareth is nothing to you anymore.
I'm a bit blank on this entire episode, I think.
I've looked in our archive. He was King Arthur's nephew, and he was maybe on one of... Oh, no, he was on the main table, but there were lesser tables, much like at a wedding.
That's what I was going to say. Children's that's my only table. Memory, yeah. Is that there were other round tables, and they were... you got to get to the one with Lancelot.
That's really funny.
What am I doing on the one with Gareth?
All right. Well, look, that's enough of our facts. Thank you so much to all of our new custodians of facts. Just to remind you, that's John, Amy, Michael, brackets no relation, Holly, Ethan, Brad, Wayne, and Mary. Thank you so much to all of you. Thank you to all of you for listening. If you'd like to submit a fact to us, it's podcast@qi.com. That's our email address. And if you'd like to join Club Fish to get ad-free episodes, bonus content, and so much more, go to patreon.com/clubfish. Thanks again for listening, and we'll be back next week with another one of these, and in a few days with the main episode of No Such Thing as a Fish, and potentially in a couple of days with a Drop Us a Line. All right, bye for now. Bye.
You let yourself down there, Andy.
I really did.